Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
And welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Today, talking with Chris Brown, of course, head coach of the Montana State Billings baseball team. As you know, boy, they've already got a number of games under their belt, 8 games. Chris, you know, before we even kind of get into sort of the individual games, you know, I know you won your first game since then. You know, you've had some close contests, certainly just got back from a 4-game or a big stretch at Northern Colorado. In general, even beyond the record, how you feeling about the way things are going thus far?
Good. We knew that the first two series were really going to challenge us, and our probably two of the better teams we'll play all year, especially Northern Colorado. That'll probably be the best team that we play all year. And I think the positives out of the first two weekends were, you know, everybody got to play, everybody's getting a chance to kind of earn their role, and a lot more positives than negatives. Obviously, we'd like a couple more wins in there, but you know, looking past it, I think what we've done is we've really shown ourselves where we need to improve, but also proven to ourselves that we can play some pretty good baseball when we put it all together. And that's kind of the next step for us, is to put a whole game together and really kind of not only start strong and to finish strong as well, but take care of the middle part of the game, and that's kind of been the our Achilles heel, if you will, is kind of shutting it down in the middle part of the games.
Yeah, a very interesting start. I mean, you win 8-4 over Metro State. Since that time, 7 straight, but except for the last game, which you look at, and it was like 16-7, you know, all the games have really been fairly competitive, so it certainly seems like that record could be a little bit deceiving.
Definitely, you know, we you never like to say that a hop here or a hop there would make a difference, but in our case, a couple of those games, we had some unfortunate bounces and didn't get it to go our way. But in all the games, with the exception of the last one, we were in it until the end, and we actually had chances to either tie or go ahead in the last part of the game, and meaning that we had either the tying run at the plate, the tying run on base, or the go-ahead run, and had opportunities where we were one hit away from maybe tilting the game the other way.
You bring up an interesting point, and this is what I think fascinates me about baseball more so than any other sport. Even a game like that, where you look at the last game where it was 16-7, you're on the other side of it. But what I find fascinating about baseball, you can look at a basketball score, you can look at a football score and say, boy, that game was dominated by a particular team. The interesting thing about baseball is sometimes it truly does come down to one play. And I'm not talking about the big grand slam. I'm talking about maybe what got them to the grand slam. You know, it might be a situation where, yeah, you give up 7 runs in an inning, but one play made there, you know, no runs are scored. It's a totally different ball game. I think that's kind of what separates baseball and perhaps softball a little bit too, kind of from the rest of the sports.
Definitely, and unfortunately, we've had quite a few of those situations, and they haven't went our way. A couple times because we didn't execute, but a couple other times just because of you know, unfortunate circumstances. In one of the games down in Northern Colorado, pitcher made a great pitch, and the ball hits 5 feet in front of the plate and takes 150-foot hop and goes over the entire infield. And, you know, as a pitcher, he made a good pitch. And on, you know, you go to 100 other fields and they're softer, and that ball's a routine ground ball, whereas their field still had some frost on it. It was a hard surface, and it was a fortuitous bounce for them. But it's easy to make, you know, excuses and say, well, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. But the bottom line is that we've had the same opportunities playing on the same fields, and we've just got to execute and take advantage of those situations when we get them.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point because, you know, I remember years of watching, this is just a kind of an analogy here, watching Notre Dame football, and everybody was saying, well, Notre Dame was so lucky, you know, because they always managed to win games, and they'd win games in the last, back in the days of the Oakland Raiders. Well, what are they now, unlucky? You know what I'm saying? Great teams tend to make their own luck, or, you know, they do seem to get the balls bouncing in their favor and what have you. And I know as a coach, that's where you kind of want this team to get.
Definitely, and I agree. You know, you hit the nail on the head there, Ken, when you said you make your own luck. And you know, it's easy to sit back and say, well, geez, if this would have went our way or if that would have happened, well, the bottom line is it didn't. And why didn't it? Well, because we didn't make it happen. You know, we had ample opportunities in all of those games to win them and to seal the deal. And bottom line is you know, we know we can play with those teams, but now we've got to prove to ourselves that we can beat those teams. And that's kind of where we're at as a team, is we're right on the precipice of being a winning team and fulfilling our potential. But the bottom line is you got to seal the deal and finish it at the end. And that's where we haven't been able to finish it.
I talking to your comrade Tony Stone in the softball office. You know, you're in very much the same situation as he is, and of course he's actually in a better situation because they got their first game on the 13th, I believe, of March. Taking a look at you, you don't play at home until the 31st. There's no two ways about it. You're going to face this sort of situation every year. Talk about opening up with so many games on the road. I suppose there are some positives. Get you road tested. You know, and then you do have the big opportunity to open up, you know, to finish up the season at home. But obviously, that's got to take a strain on a program a little bit.
Definitely, it's never ideal when you're on the road at all, let alone 7 straight weeks. And it's, you know, not only challenging physically, but mentally and emotionally. And you know, the thing that kind of gets lost in the shuffle is that these are student athletes, and they have classes that they have to, you know, either attend or do stuff on the road, whether it's a quiz or a homework assignment, or they're studying for a test. And you know, that's a big factor when we're on the road. And obviously there's the fact that you're on a bus or on an airplane, you're staying in hotels, you're not eating normal meals, and all those factors. And we just kind of tell our guys, hey, it is what it is, and you got to deal with it and make it work. And kind of the one caveat there that puts it into perspective for them is, you know, all these guys want to play after college. Well, that's what life in minor league baseball is like day in and day out for a much longer period of time. And that kind of puts it in perspective for them. And most of our guys handle it really well. You know, the other issue there is just getting that TLC that all athletes need, you know, daily training room stuff, whether it's stretching or ice or ultrasound and all those things. And that not only helps a kid be healthier, but it helps them feel better and thus play better. So those are some of the issues that you battle on the road, but that's the way our schedule is, and we'll make the best of it.
Yellow Jacket Coach's Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Chevrolet Hummer, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, SignPro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. We'll be back with the second segment right after this.
Sports Health is for the athlete in all of us. Sports Health is all about getting back into the game, no matter what your game is, baseball, running, basketball, or walking. Sports injuries are cared for by a professional team of orthopedic physicians and therapists with the goal of getting you back into the action. Don't be sidelined. If you're injured, ask your physician to send you to Sports Health at St. Vincent Healthcare.
Ken Adelblue back with Chris Brown, head coach of the Montana State Billings baseball team. 1-7 thus far, opening up with a win, very impressive win over Metro State, 8-4. Since that time, games against Metro State and Northern Colorado, two very good teams, have gone the other way. But again, apart from the record, sounds like you guys have been playing pretty well. Let's talk about what you're most pleased with up to this point, and then we can kind of get into some of those things that sort of need to be shored up as the season goes on.
You know, I think the biggest thing is we've had multiple opportunities where we could have given up, where we were down by, you know, 4, 8 runs, whatever it was, and we kept pushing and kept chipping away, and we've shown that we have a lot of fortitude and that we're going to fight until the end. And we've put ourselves in position to, like I said before, either tie the game or go ahead in the later part of the game. We just haven't capitalized on those opportunities, but we've gotten to that point now. The next step is to obviously get over that hump and make those things happen when we provide ourselves with those opportunities.
Is it just an issue right now that when you need that timely hit, and I suppose it's a number of issues, but when you need that timely hit, just not getting it because, again, you know, that runner in scoring position with one down, moving him over or getting him in before you get yourself into that two-out situation? Are those some of the things you're kind of dealing with right now?
Definitely. You know, we've gotten better with our two-out hitting, but we need to do a much better job of extending the inning and using all three outs. And also our two-strike hitting, we've progressively gotten better with that, but we still need to put the ball in play on a more consistent basis with two strikes. And, you know, the other part of that, a whole formula, if you will, from an offensive standpoint, is when we do have runners in scoring position to at least make it a productive at-bat. We've run into that a lot where we've got guys in scoring position with less than two outs and we haven't moved them over or got them in. And those are things that we really stress in practice, is that, you know, you get a guy on base, you got to move them up, move them over, get them in. And with runners in scoring position with less than two outs, we haven't done as good a job as I'd like with getting guys in and or moving them over and having a productive at-bat in that way.
Who's ahead at this time of year? And because taking a look at the scores, it's difficult to project because you've had some high-scoring games, you've had some low-scoring games. The question is, this early in the season, who tends to be ahead? Is it the pitchers or the hitters, or does it just kind of vary from game to game, obviously?
I think it varies from game to game, and each guy is different. Some guys have the mind or the thought process that the hitting's always ahead the first part of the year, and there's some validity to that in that, you know, those guys have seen a lot of at-bats, hit a lot of balls, and they've got their timing down. And, you know, conversely, the pitchers, you know, they're not quite where they need to be. You know, it's very difficult when you start in January and you're playing 4 weeks later, a month later is just not enough time to get your arm in mid-season shape and to really get sharp. And for a lot of guys, it's their first time on a dirt mound, and that's a heck of a lot different than throwing on in a gym on a wooden mound versus going outside, dealing with the elements, dealing with the dirt, and each mound's different. And, you know, not that that's an excuse, but it's definitely a variable that as guys progress through the year, they get a lot better with it and their arms get in better shape. And, you know, from a weather standpoint, it's a heck of a lot easier to throw when it's 60, 70, 80 degrees outside than some of the weather that we've had. Unfortunately, hasn't exactly been tropical, and that always puts a little bit more stress on the pitcher and definitely limits how long he can go. We've had a couple of very quality starts, but we've had to kind of cut him off at that point because of the weather and the consideration that, hey, we need this guy for the long term, and we need to be smart about his health.
I know that coaches don't really like to do this, but I'm going to put you on the spot anyway. Any particular players stepping out earlier in the season? I don't want to say they're necessarily a surprise for you, but maybe that have really kind of come through and you're thinking, boy, we really got a gem here.
You know, Jesse Finley as a freshman, we weren't sure where he was going to fit in at the start of the year. You know, we knew he was a good ball player and we knew that he had a lot of potential, but we kind of are in a position where we had to play him as a true freshman. And you know, he's definitely had his struggles, but he's definitely done a lot better than we envisioned. And I think that if he can continue on the track that he has, you know, each time out he's gotten better and he's proven that he belongs at this level and that he can succeed. So he's been a real pleasant surprise on the offensive side. You know, on the defensive side, for the most part, we've played pretty solid defense as a whole. Some of the errors are maybe a surface issue. The two fields that we have played on haven't exactly been perfect or ideal in that, you know, we had to play at an alternate site in Denver. Metro's field had some severe wind damage to it, so we had to play at All-Star Park, which was a nice facility, but they weren't planning on having games on it until April, so they weren't able to do the things that it takes to get the field in shape. So the skin area was extremely soft. The outfield had yet to it had been aerated but hadn't been filled in, so there was little dirt clumps everywhere and made it more like a Plinko board in the outfield. And then Northern Colorado's field still hadn't thawed out. There was still frost on the ground, so the surface was very hard and very rough. And you know, as much as you sit there and you say, okay, well, we expect to make those plays, as a coach, you have to be realistic. And when a guy gets a bad hop, if he makes that play, you got to be happy. But if he doesn't, you've got to understand that, you know, hey, that there's nothing you can do to anticipate that ball all of a sudden hopping at you and taking a 35 degree angle hop sideways once you think it's coming right at you. So some of those things will iron themselves out as we, you know, get down to Phoenix, especially, and you know, all the surfaces that we play on down there are top notch, man. They're top shelf. The Grand Canyon's facility is very, very quality playing surface. And the Gene Autry facility is a former spring training site, and they keep that surface top shelf. So I think that'll help iron out some of the fielding stuff, and we just got to keep pushing forward.
You bring up an interesting point, though. How excited are you to be playing at Dealer Park this year? Last year you played at Pertz, and certainly they did a good job with Pertz keeping it going, but nonetheless, I can't imagine that you're going to be playing in a whole lot of stadiums that are nicer than Dealer. They say it's one of the nicest minor league ballparks in the country. Got to be excited to be getting to that home schedule.
We're chomping at the bit, and in my mind, it'll be the nicest surface that we play on all year, and you know, and that's kind of the misconception too is that, you know, all the peripheral stuff's great, but the bottom line for us, at least baseball wise, is the surface. You can have a great field and it's the middle of a cornfield, and it's all about the surface. Whereas you can have the greatest stadium in the world and the surface is subpar. Well, it kind of defeats the purpose of all the peripheral stuff. But Dealer Park's kind of got both going for it. They've got a phenomenal atmosphere, and all the peripherals are there. But from a surface standpoint, it's as good as we're going to play on. So we really look forward to getting into that stadium and know that it's the nicest surface that we'll play on, the nicest stadium that we'll play in all year. And we get to play on it more than once, which is really nice, and we're looking forward to it.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare and Jackets Company. When we get back, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the games coming up in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. That'll be coming up on the third part of the Coaches Show.
Over the years, Hanser's Automotive has earned quite a reputation for their transmission work. But some have forgotten about their general repair and fleet work, well known for their expertise in carburation to fuel injection, diesel trucks, small cars, foreign cars, brakes, and tune-ups. Hanser's has the top ASE-certified master technicians in the area to get the job done right. No matter what kind of vehicle, Hanser's can repair it. Call 248-7795. See all that they can do or visit them online at Hanser's.com.
Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare and Jackets Company. When we get back, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the games coming up in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. That'll be coming up on the third part of the Coaches Show. Okay. All right. Third part coming down in 3, 2, and 1. Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Talking with Chris Brown, I am extremely jealous you get to go to Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, we've been talking about the travails of going on the road and everything else, but nonetheless, certainly I wish I was heading on the trip with you. But nonetheless, you got work to do when you get down there. You've got Grand Canyon and then a team that's turned into a pretty good rivalry for you. I know the University of Mary. Obviously, this is a nice road trip for you.
Definitely. We're looking forward to getting down. Looked at the 10-day forecast. Supposed to be 80 and sunny every day. So get a little sunshine and have some nice weather. Don't know much about Grand Canyon. They're kind of new to Division II. I believe in their fourth year or fifth year of Division II. I know they're a full counter for Division II, and they're a quality program. University of Mary, like you said, has developed into a good rivalry for us, and justly so. They're the closest Division II school to us, and it just worked out this year that we were able to play them while we were down there when it didn't work out for us to go to their place or for them to come here. So it worked out really well for us to be able to get those games in and be able to play them down in Phoenix again.
Boy, taking a look at it, though, man, oh, man, you got a lot of games there. You've got, I think 8 games. I'm even having trouble counting them up. You've got 8 days over a relatively very short period of time. I suppose this is one of the situations when you're going to really get a chance to kind of look at your depth, frankly, not only with your pitching staff, but your team as a whole.
Definitely. You know, we get down there and we play 2 on Friday, 2 Saturday, 2 Sunday, 2 Monday, and it's 8 games in 4 days, so that'll be a real good test of not only our depth, but our ability to kind of persevere and our mental toughness. You know, that first day, everybody's going to be chomping at the bit and excited to go. Second day, they're prepared for it. By that third, fourth day, guys are going to be tired, and we're going to get a chance to look at a lot of guys, and that's kind of the mindset that we've taken with this first pre-conference portion of our season, and that, you know, we had a lot of question marks and a lot of new faces this year. So what we told the guys is, hey, we've got 16 pre-conference games, and everybody's going to get a shot, everybody's going to get a chance, and you need to go out there and earn your role, and not only, you know, earn it by one good game, you got to follow it up, and you need to deserve it on a daily basis, and that's what we're really looking forward to with Phoenix, is everybody's going to get a chance to kind of, you know, put up or shut up, for lack of a better cliche, but that's the situation that we're in, and we got some good battles going on. We've had a lot of guys assert themselves as favorites, but all in all, you know, there's still that second half of those 16 games for guys to go out there and prove that they deserve to have that be their job.
Yeah, it brings up an interesting point. That's one thing I really love about college baseball. Even at the minor league level, you know, you got first round, second round draft choices. Obviously, they go in, and there's a real emphasis to try to get those guys out on the field. And certainly, when you get to the major league level, you know, you've got big, huge contracts. You know, you don't want them sitting on the bench. From your standpoint, I suppose every player is essentially auditioning for minutes.
Yep, and you know what you did last year doesn't matter. What you did in Legion or at junior college, that doesn't matter. It's you know, kind of what have you done for me lately? And, you know, you hate to be that blunt about it, but that's what it is. And our season isn't long enough that you can really afford to have a guy struggle for a portion of it. If that's the case, you know, you got to find someone to step in and fill his role for him. And you know, roles are constantly being redefined and guys are working themselves in and out of the lineup. And I think that that's a good motivator for the players, knowing that, you know, hey, just because I've quote-unquote earned the starting position for the first conference series, it doesn't mean I'm going to be the starter the next conference series or 2 weeks from now. It's a constant battle, and I think that provides, you know, some good competitiveness between the guys, but it also puts us in a position where guys are working hard day in and day out to keep their spots and or improve where they're at.
One thing that really stands out at me about this these series of eight games in Phoenix, too, a little extra emphasis is right after that, you open up Great Northwest Athletic Conference play. So I would imagine there's probably a little greater sense of urgency to get things shored up.
Definitely, and that's, you know, that's kind of the thought process with the schedule design here is, you know, we didn't have that opportunity in the Heartland Conference the first 2 years of our program. We opened up with conference games, and it was real difficult to kind of prepare for both. You know, A, figure out your best lineup that's going to give you a chance to win, but also give guys a chance to prove that they deserve that spot. Whereas now we've got 16 pre-conference games before our first series, And that's kind of the thought process, is let's iron out all those wrinkles, figure out what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, where we need to improve. And by the time that we start playing in Nampa, we've got to have that figured out. And there is that sense of urgency that, hey, we've got eight games to start playing our best baseball.
Should make note that along with that series at Northwest Nazarene, they'll also have road games against Central Washington and St. Martin's. And then they will be at home against a non-conference foe, Colorado Christian. That's Tuesday, March 31st, their first game at 3 p.m. at Dealer Park. That's part of a three-game series. And then they'll be at home against Western Oregon on the 4th of April. Coach Chris Brown, thank you so much, and best of luck to you in Phoenix, and we'll, of course, talk to you when you get back.
Perfect. Thanks, Ken. I'll get some sunshine for you up here.
Oh, man, I am jealous. Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, SignPro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets & Company. Join us next week for the Coaches Show. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.